We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. This morning, we will be having our vintage service. We had last Wednesday off for the Thanksgiving weekend, and so we will be resuming that today at 11 o'clock, and so we hope to see you soon. Anyway, praise the Lord. Yesterday's broadcast was one that probably brought more groans than amens, but we were dealing with one of the names of God, and it had started with Jehoshaphat, which means God the Judge. But today, I promise that today is going to be a lot more enjoyable for you, because we are going to talk about another name, a name that is higher than the name of Jehoshaphat. It's a name that takes different forms in the Old Testament, and I will tell the Old Testament form is the name of Joshua. But in Matthew the first chapter, in verse number 20, it says, "But while he thought about these, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And so today I want to talk to you about the name that is exalted above every name. It is the name of Jesus. It is the name which every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the Greek variation of the Hebrew word Joshua. Joshua means God saves, the Lord who saves. And so this revelation of who God is, it disarms, it renders useless the weapon that believes that we are too far gone to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. One time I was witnessing to a person, and they made the statement. They said, I have sinned too much for Jesus to be able to forgive me. And I said, do you realize that when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, that he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He said, "Yes." And I said, "So your sin is not on a more massive scale than world sin. Jesus is sufficient not to take away just the small sins, but he is able to take away entire lifetime of sins." So today, if you are listening, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're a senior citizen. It doesn't matter if you're in your 90s or your hundreds. God, and if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you your sins before, I want you to know that today is the day of salvation. Jesus saves even on December the 3rd, 2014. He is still in the redemption business. A minister that I know, that is what he says. God is in the redemption business. And if you and your church want to be about God's business, then you also must be in the redemption business. You know, the minor prophet, it says multitudes, multitudes. in the valley of decision. Well, what is the decision? Not just a decision, you know, sometimes you get up and you say, okay, do I want to shower, you know, before you go to bed, do I want to shower tonight or do I want to shower in the morning? You get up the next morning and say, do I want to wear this outfit? Do I want to wear that outfit? It's kind of funny. My wife, leaves for work much earlier than I do. She was just transferred, to where now, instead of being 5 to 10 minutes away from the house, she's about 45 minutes away from the house now. And so, but I she's out there, she has her devotion time. She has her coffee and, she's out there, and I can always tell, when she's getting ready to pick out what she is going to wear, because she goes to the back door, she opens the door to find out what is the weather like today, and then she makes her decision on what she's going to wear based upon how hot it is going to be. Lots and lots of decision. Do I go to work the normal way that I always go, or do I want to take an adventure? What do I want to have for breakfast? You know, all of those decisions, but that is not the decision. Even who to marry is not the decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The decision is how are we going to respond to the God who saves? Jesus is still in the salvation business. Now, I'm going to make an assumption here about everything that I've been told about the demographics of those who listen to Christian radio, and I'm very thankful for you. Most of the people who listen to Christian radio are Christians. And the only way to become a Christian, you're not born a Christian, you're born again a Christian. You've made a personal decision to say yes to Jesus' offer of forgiveness. And so today I want to ask you, how long has it been since you reminisced and truly gave God thanks for salvation, for wiping away your sins, for refusing to pay you eternal death and instead gifting you eternal life? How long has it been since you rejoiced in what God has provided for you? And so I want to encourage you today to remember what God has saved you from. Because when we remember what God has saved us from, whether it was lying, whether you were a thief, you could have even been a murderer. I know a person who actually was in prison because he had killed somebody. And today he is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ because of the tremendous work of grace that God did in his life. Miracles took place. And now that man is out there proclaiming Jesus saves. So whatever it was that Jesus has forgiven you from, I've got a friend who goes into jail ministry and prison ministry, and you might think that those are the only people that have anything really to be thankful for, because, you know, all we had was pride. Well, did you know that the scripture says God hates pride and he opposes the proud? And I was reading in my devotions the other day, and I found out that pride is a soul defect. I was like, wow, I have never seen that passage of scripture before. Pride is a defect in our soul. It should be factory recalled at that point in time to have that malfunction corrected. You see, when we are saved, we cannot be boasting about ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. We are saved by the grace of God. Salvation is God gifting to us something that we did not deserve. It is an empowerment that breaks the strongholds of sin and empowers us to be able to live a life of holiness. I am telling you today, we as born-again believers need to constantly rejoice in the God of our salvation. And so I know that we've already come through Thanksgiving and all of that, but could we, as we are now entering into the Christmas season, where Jesus set aside his glory and came and dwelt among us with the purpose of saving that which is lost. Remember, that's what he said. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't just come to find you. He came to save you. And so today, right wherever you are, let's just take a moment and say thank you. Let's say thank you for him forgiving us of lying and stealing, whatever it might have been, unfaithfulness, whatever it might be. Father, right now, we just want to thank you that you were not content to leave us bound in sin. But God, I thank you today that you are God who saves. Today, we praise the name of our Lord and Savior, the name of Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price, not for his sin, but for my sin and the sin of the whole world. God, today I want to thank you that you are the Lamb that's still taking away the sin of the world. And so today, Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life and what you've done for me, what you've done for those that I know. Would you do it again? Would you do it for those who are in the valley of decision? Lord, there are millions. There are millions who have yet to decide to allow Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Today, God, would you save their souls? I want you to know that that's why we are so involved in missions. Really, that's why I'm here on the radio. That's why I teach in Fiji. Because Jesus saves. And the Word of God tells me in great detail who he is going to gather around the throne of grace. It'll be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so today, my vision for communicating that Jesus saves is not just to my congregation. It's not just to the people in our community. It's not even just to the people here in America, in our culture, or in our family. But today, let's allow God to develop in us his compassion for global salvation. Now, I'm not telling you that everybody is going to be saved. That's a doctrine that's called universal salvation. There are some people who believe that. It doesn't line up with the Word of God, because the Word of God describes people who rejected the offer of salvation that was theirs. It's not that God wanted them to spend an eternity apart from him. He wants you and I to spend eternity with him. He is the God who saves, not the God who condemns. He is the one who saves. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's who God is. But he gave you and I a freedom to choose. He gave us a free will. And so we have to make the decision, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with the offer of salvation? And I encourage you to not delay that decision, but instead to make that decision today. When Jesus was ministering to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse number 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." There may be some that say, well, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it, that you think that Jesus is the only way to be saved? Well, you know, I don't think it's arrogant to believe the Word of God. The Word of God says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If that verse doesn't do it for you, there is Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. "Now there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Must be saved. Jesus is the only God who saves. I know that there are going to be people that don't like to hear that. But again, it is not my opinion. I am just simply putting my faith and trust in the word of God that is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's not going anyplace. Man's opinion may change, but God's word does not change. And so when you think about what God has done for you, let me just reemphasize one more time as I'm sitting here looking at my notes. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so, again, salvation is not just a spiritual aspect. It brings wholeness to every area of our life. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. God chose you. You know, when I was in grade school, I was a runt. I was a little bitty, teeny tiny guy. I didn't hit 5 feet tall until late in my seventh grade year of school. That was the same year I crossed 100 pounds. I was always underneath that. I was still growing. You know, when I was in high school, I still remember the height that it said on my learner's permit, which became my driver's license. Fortunately, I grew a little bit after that. I still remember the weight, and it wasn't an impressive weight, you know, even back then. I was just a bit of a runt. And so what would happen is when we were in grade school, we still had recess at that time. We'd go out to the playground, and then we would choose teams for, you know, whatever game we were playing, whether it was Red Rover, or whether it was dodgeball or kickball or whatever it might be. And guess what? There were people who were chosen last. I know that because I was one of them. And, you know, pretty soon you're getting, oh, choose me. And, you know, always one of those really humbling things whenever they choose a girl before they choose you. Anyway, there were choices to be made. Well, I want you to know that today there may have been companies that rejected you. There may, you know, as a pastor, I can tell you this, every pastor in town has been rejected by somebody. There has been somebody that came, attended, and then rejected them as their pastor. I'll never forget the time that somebody came to my church and, they were talking about a particular pastor over in Orlando who travels internationally, has worldwide crusades, has millions and millions of people. And they came to my church and they said, you know, so-and-so just wasn't feeding us. And I will tell you right now what my reaction was then. Well, I know that he preaches the word of God. And so if they're saying that they weren't fed over there, they're certainly not going to stay here. So everybody has faced rejection. Today, I want to let you know about somebody who not only did not reject you, but made you a high priority mission in his life. And that name is Jesus. He chose you for salvation. I want to tell you something else. He chose all of your family members for salvation. He wants each and every one of them saved. He chose your next door neighbors as salvation for salvation. He chose your coworkers. And so you and I are designed by God, gifted with him, by him, not only with salvation, but also with the privilege of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Okay. And so you and I, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to be proclaiming it. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so there's another verse here. Let me see if I can find it. There it is. Acts chapter 16, verse number 17. This is a very interesting story. Paul and Silas are ministering. There is a girl that's following them. And I love that it says this. It says, Paul got annoyed with this girl following them, saying this all the time. This is what she said. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. What she said was true. The purpose behind her saying that was to distract people and assume that they were operating by the same spirit she was. And Paul, after that had gone on for several days, he said, enough of that. He cast the demon out of that girl and ended up getting thrown into jail as a result of that, because people lost their ability to make money. So Jesus is the only way to salvation. There's a process that is used to accomplish that, and that is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And I want you to see, repentance leads to salvation. When I hear people arguing that certain sins do not have to be repented of, there is a part of me that becomes very upset, because I realize that that is not designed as a blessing to that person's life, but it is an attempt by the enemy to deprive them of the salvation that Jesus wants for them. Let me say that this way. Anytime the devil tries to convince you to hold on or cling to a sin and tries to deceive you and cause you to believe that you do not need to repent and ask forgiveness of that sin, he's not trying to bless you. He's trying to steal your inheritance. He's trying to steal you your salvation and deprive you of what God says that you have been chosen for. 1 Thessalonians verse 9 says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know today that if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're driving down the road, it might be somebody that is there beside you. Maybe they're not saved. But right now, whoever is listening, I want you to know that it is God's desire to save you and to set you free. He wants you to be saved. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace was Jesus. Grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. And so today, I just want to encourage you, don't delay it any longer. You have been chosen by God for salvation, and you have been appointed by God to salvation. And so if you are here today, we're going to pray just a little bit earlier in the program today, and then I got one last point to share. And so if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, get ready, because your life is getting ready to change for the better, okay? Just repeat these words. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you gave Jesus Christ, your Son, so that I could have eternal life. I want to thank you, God, that it is your desire, your will, your choice, your appointment for me to be saved. Thank you, God, that you have not appointed me to wrath, but you have appointed me to salvation. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, and my God. Thank you for the gracious gift of eternal life. Lord, now use me to proclaim the goodness of God to those who I come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have said that prayer and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want you to tell somebody. And if you're looking for a safe person to tell, you can call us, leave us a voicemail. You can reach us, write us a note, 165 North Grove Street. You could send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You could come visit us. However you want to do it, we would love to celebrate. Now, I want to tell you this. Heaven rejoices whenever one person gets saved. And right now, there's just something inside of me that's saying that we need to rejoice because somebody someplace just said the prayer of salvation, okay? Let's just rejoice a minute. Father, thank you right now. Thank you for those that you are redeeming, that you are forgiving, and that you are taking up residence in their heart. Thank you, God, for a new name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close the program a little bit different today, and that's one more verse. If you've been saved for a while, a lot of times what happens is we begin to dull in our memory of all of the things that God has forgiven us of. Another thing that happens is sometimes whenever we've allowed sin to creep into our life, it brings consequence to our life, and it begins to cause us to experience things that are unpleasant, shall we say. And I just want to point out to you Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's prayer after the prophet had just come to him and said, David, you're the man, you have sinned. And David penned Psalm 51. And in that prayer, David says this, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Whether you've been saved 2 minutes or whether you've been saved 70 years, today I pray that the joy of your salvation would be at all-time highs. I pray that the joy of the Lord would take up residence in your heart and that you would realize what a tremendous blessing it is to be able to share the joy of the Lord. Being saved is a joyful experience. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so as we are now into December and pressing on towards Christmas, don't do it with drudgery, don't do it with reluctance, but do it with the joy of the Lord. May the joy of the Lord be your strength throughout this holiday season. God bless you. We'll see you today at 11 or tomorrow right here on the Refresh broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.